I want to read to you from a couple of places in Scripture today. First being Colossians, and then John, the Gospel of John chapter 1. But in Colossians chapter 1 as well, but beginning at verse 15. Hear the reading of God's holy word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And then from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and just the first few verses here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This scripture and these scriptures reflect to the very beginning scripture in Genesis. And there's other scriptures that reflect to it as well. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to demonstrate the things that were created, the air and the firmament between the waters and the air and the ground and so on and so forth, to the animals and us even. And each time God says in his creation, it is what? Good. But when he speaks about humans being made, Adam being made, what does he say? It is very good. There's a qualifier, an extra emphasis put in it, because you and I have been made in the image and likeness of God. And we're not like any other part of creation. We're not like the oak tree or the sycamore tree. We're not like the blades of grass. We're not like the fish in the sea, the whale or the shark or the grouper or anything like it. We're not like the animals. We're not like the calf or the lamb or, the alpaca or any other kind of animal that exists. We're not like them. We are made wholly different. God has breathed into us, through, like he says in Scripture in the Old Testament, in Adam, he breathed into the very nostrils of Adam, giving breath, giving spirit, giving life. That's different. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we're made to act as children of God, not as the animals, not as the plants, not as the dirt or the water, or the air in which we breathe, but to act like the children of God. Relationship, a closeness, just as your own children, yourselves, or grandchildren, or your nieces and nephews, and so on and so forth. We are made in the image and likeness of God. There is a difference between discovery, invention, discovery or invention, and then creation. A difference between invention and creation, or discovery and creation. There's a difference. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. He, over time, discovered that a certain filament, a certain type of filament in a bulb that, you know, had as much of the air taken out of it as possible, that filament could burn bright enough that it would provide light, made light. But the thing about that is did he actually create the light itself? No. Who created the light itself? That comes from God, doesn't it? Now, there are people who want to posit, who want to push the point that God doesn't exist, and that everything kind of happened by chance, and by, you know, billions of years by chance. But that doesn't seem real to me or valid. And there's some great scientists who even disagree with that being a valid thing, saying that reason itself, the ability to reason something, just doesn't posit itself to the randomness of creation. And so there's a joke that takes place about a scientist and a God. Keep in mind, this is a joke, folks. And yes, there are plenty of scientists who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's not an either-or thing, all right? There are many who posit and say and determine that, hey, it all points to Jesus. And these are the reasons why I believe that. And you can look them up online. You can see certain scientists, mathematicians, great minds who point to not just a higher being, but even specifically to that of Christ. I think one of the smartest people is not well known, but one of the smartest people with one of the highest IQs, higher than Einstein, higher than those that you see on television, have said that Jesus is the real answer. And he says all things point toward Christ. And it just makes sense in that way. And I won't go into their argument for here. But here's this joke concerning scientists and God. And so the scientist says, we don't need you anymore. God, we don't need you. We're able to clone people. We're able to transplant organs. We're able to do all of these things that we used to not be able to do, but now we are able to do all of these things, and we really just don't need you anymore. And so God then responds and says, don't need me, huh? How about we have a test? Let's create a human. And so God takes some dirt from the ground, and he creates, just like he did in the Genesis story, and there comes a live human being. And then he looks at the scientist and says, now your turn. And so the scientist then bent down and grabbed some dirt, and God says, hold on just a second. Hold on. You get your own dirt. Now, it's just a joke, but it makes a valid point. Everything that we see, God has created. Amen. We didn't do anything. Even the children that are born to us, we didn't create. It was God that knitted the child together. It was God that caused the eye to see. Now, the good thing in Colossians, it says this: for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and what? Invisible. That really means known to us and unknown to us. So, whereas some people will say, well, God fills in the gaps for us until science somehow comes along and fills in those opportunities that we will then understand everything. No, it's the other way around. God, who has created all things that we understand and all things that we don't understand, God has already filled in the gaps. He is everything, you see. And so, nothing has occurred by chance, folks. We need to understand that. Jesus wasn't born into this world by a chance or a happenstance that God one day woke up, and in essence, if God could wake up or ever fall asleep, he doesn't, and just say, hey, I think we'll have a Savior. No. That's the plan all along for Jesus. Things don't happen by chance. Things don't happen out of randomness with God. Now, I know then people will want to pose the question of why do bad things happen? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? That doesn't mean that's from God, folks. That's from a fallen world. That's from evil coming to this world because we rebelled and rejected the will of God when he made all things in Genesis and everything was great and good. We corrupted it. And therefore everything was corrupted. If there's something bad that happens to us or in our world or whatever happens, occurs, it's not because God has placed it there for us. Now, God can use those things to strengthen our faith, to bless us even, to show us our need of Christ in our lives, our need of God in our lives. But God doesn't just bring things about and things don't just happen happenstance. I mean, what are the chances? If I placed on the floor here a huge canvas, and I had 100 different paints, right here on this platform with me. And I was able to just take all of those paints and somehow just throw them up in the air. And for them to come down and make a beautiful painting like the Mona Lisa, would that happen? No, it wouldn't happen, would it? Because it wouldn't have any real push for design or anything like that. Now, there's some painters who do that sort of thing, and they call it art. I don't call that art because I can do it, you know, and anybody can do that. That doesn't really come across to me as art. It's like that guy that decided to tape a piece of banana to canvas and sell it for over $1 million. And then had instructions on how to replace the banana when it rots, you know. It doesn't make sense, does it? That doesn't seem like real art. I get what the point they're trying to make, but it's still not $1 million, is it? It's an idea that anybody could then get a piece of canvas, some tape, and put it up there. But the Mona Lisa is not going to come out. If I threw up the paint a billion times, it's still not going to become the Mona Lisa or some other distinguishable kind of painting, is it? It's not. Because that's left up to chance. Y'all, we weren't left up to chance. We were made. We were wonderfully made. And that's a blessing for us. To know that we are God's children and that he has made us. Now, I'm going to say something. I hope I don't offend anybody here with this. But going around the scripture about God and Jesus being begotten, not created. Now, I've seen this in every church in which I've served, and of people who do this in their homes and who've done it in the church. And I'm not opposed to it, so hear me that way. I'm not trying to put you down or anything like that. But some people will do a happy birthday Jesus kind of celebration. A happy birthday to Jesus. And I'm not wild on that, okay? I'm not a fan. I get it. I get why. Because it somehow brings out the realness of Jesus being born. But the thing is, Jesus isn't begotten and comes to this earth so we can celebrate his birthday in the sense of, hey, Jesus, you're 2,000 years old now. No, the thing is, the scripture continually states to us, Jesus is in the very beginning. He is God. That is what the scriptures attest to us, and what makes this totally different than any other religion in the world. Jesus is God. He is in the very beginning. He is much the Creator as the Father himself, as the Holy Spirit is. Jesus is in the very beginning. And he hasn't come for us to celebrate a birthday for him. He came for you and me. He came to save you and me. He came to save his children. And how wonderful that is. Now, thinking about that is that God values you and me. It's something different from the rest of his creation. The rest of the creation is made for us. Not it. Not us for the rest of creation. Kind of like the law or the Sabbath is made for us, not us for the Sabbath. And so God has made us different than all of his other creation, and we're not equals with that other part of the creation. We stand at a level above. If you were to make it like a pyramid, you got God, and then you Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's God, one. And then you've got us, who have been made even a little higher than the angels, according to the scriptures. You see, we don't go to become angels in heaven either. So don't think about it gaining your wings. We don't gain wings in heaven. We are not angels, folks. And that's not to discredit angels. We see the angels as positive figures, but we are made to be the children of God. Established. Every person that's born in this world is made to enter into the heavenly realm and be a child of God. It is only we who decide whether we want to follow God and choose him as our Lord and Savior, or if we want to deny him. But we have been made to be a child of his. Now, think of the person that makes a painting. Lee, I know you're an artist, a very good artist, by the way. I know our youth director is an artist. Tom, you're an artist with glass. I've already gotten a bunch of comments on the glass hanging in our kitchen. And some of you artists with music and different things. But when you create a piece, you don't just go, after you see it and you go, man, this is great, and you think good about it. You don't go, well, let me take a match to it and burn it up. Let me throw it away in the trash. I mean, when you think it's a good piece, what do? You're proud of it. You think well of it. You want to treasure it, right? Well, God created us, and He doesn't want to throw us away or abandon you and me. Therefore, He sent His Son Himself, the plan from the very beginning of creation. God had a purpose and a plan. It wasn't happenstance. It was for Jesus to come in and be our Savior. For us as a people to reject Him, to carry Him to the cross, and to place Him in the grave, only for Him to show us His victory over sin and death for our sake. He made you. He's going to do everything for you to protect you, to save you, to secure you forever and ever. And He has already done so through Jesus Christ, begotten, not created, begotten. He has brought us into being. He is the one that has brought us from nothing and made us into being. No scientist, no great thinker can say that they have ever observed life come from nothing. It's just not there. It's not observable. It's never happened. Except that God has brought us into being, and God has brought everything that is seen and unseen into existence. How many of you use AI today? Some of you use it and don't even realize you use it. Now I do a little search on my phone and it says, do you want AI use or do you want some other kind of search? And it will generate a search. AI can, as my wife will say, can write English papers. And all a person has to do is say, give me a paper on Romeo and Juliet. There it is. Now, did they do that work? No. And so that's called plagiarism. It's not good, is it? But AI is used and can be used in so many ways. Face recognition on people. Speech recognition. Let's go on and on. Could you think about using this phone 75 years ago, 50 years ago? We wouldn't have thought about it. There might have been some people who were thinking about it at one point to see it come about. But not anybody 200 years ago. Self-driving cars. How many of you want to get into a self-driving car that pulls up and say, take me to this destination? They're going to be everywhere at some point. There's transfer trucks on the highway. That might be, I shouldn't say this, that might be safer than some drivers on the road. It seems a little scary. But how did those things come about? It didn't just happen happenstance. It came about because somebody was a designer behind it, had thought behind it, figured out how does this work? This problem needs to be fixed. And they go forth and forth and forth and they determine how it would work. And they're continually making progressions. Just as we have satellites in space and so forth and so on. But none of those compare to what God has done in bringing the Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. See, this isn't God who has started the clock and he's left us alone. God has intervened in our world throughout history. God is above space, time, and matter, as some theologians have said, but he's also entered into our space, time, and matter. When he spoke through the burning bush to Moses, that is God. When he was the still small voice to Elijah in the midst of the whirlwind, that was God. When he spoke to Saul and on the road to Damascus, that Saul was going to kill Christians, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That was God. And when Jesus came into this world, that was God most eminent before us, because that was his plan of salvation. When John Wesley knelt in prayer, so much so that the wood in his bedroom was shaped where his knees were placed. This is a guy who prayed for 3 and 4 hours a day. Wow. Wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning, 4 a.m. in the morning, just to pray. I can't say I've done that. I'd fall asleep while praying. But that's what he did. You think he was on fire because of nothing? No, he was on fire because God was present and alive in his life. And y'all, as we start this new year, let us think, how can I be on fire and alive for Christ? How can I live as one who is a child created by God, who loves me immensely? He's not going to abandon me or throw me away, but wants to forgive me, wants to lift me up, wants to create in me a new heart to follow him and to show others the way to Christ. That's God, folks. For the visible and invisible, he has created. And he has given us Christ. And he has given us himself, even from the very creation. We can't create anything. Not a thing. We can develop, we can discover, we can invent, we can even be creative, but we can't create anything. We can't cause anything to come into existence that isn't already here. But God has. And God has a plan for you and me. And it is for us to be his true children and to live and know his love forever and ever. And as he told his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, but," what is it? Friends. Friends. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is good to be in your house this day. Help us to know and realize that in this world, things have not happened, but they have been created for you and me. To be your children, forgive us where we have brought sin and doubt into this world, where we have corrupted the goodness of God. Forgive us, O God. Lead us forth not in shame or guilt, but lead us forth as raised children of God, created by you and made to be friends with God, with you, O Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.